Here are some numbers from the United States Department of Agriculture. It will cost young parents having a baby this year $304,480 to raise that child to the age of 18. That's $304,480. Wow. Topping the list of things young parents must buy their child is food. And so today we pause to ask, where can one find the most food value with the fewer food dollars?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 981st edition of the Food Chain right here on GCN Radio Network. Or, hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Sasebo who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Aaron Shore on the boards. Hello, Aaron.
Good morning.
Aaron, got a question for you.
Sure.
Where do you find the most food value for the fewest food dollars?
I'm still looking.
You're still looking. Okay. Where do you look, by the way?
Farmers Market, I think, is a good place. And you know what? It isn't about what you buy. It's how you buy it and from whom you buy it.
Oh, good. Okay, folks. Listen to this press release from the United States Department of Agriculture. Parents projected to spend $245,340 to raise a child to the age of 18. Wow, we think. That's $250,000 to raise a single child. But wait. Adjusting for inflation, like they do down there in Venezuela and Argentina, that's $304,480. And that's closer to $250,000 to raise a child. USDA's projected cost for raising a child would likely challenge the budget of all but a very few young parents. But what if the young parents have four children? That would be $1,217,920 worth of children to raise. Yikes. And what if those young parents had but one income between them to raise those four children? OMG. What to do? Well, one thing we could do is ask that lady what to do. And so that is exactly what we will do today. Ladies and gentlemen, meet that lady, Lauren Grootman, who is the author of How to Coupon Effectively and host of the IamThatLady.com website. Lauren, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thanks for having me today.
Pleasure to have you aboard. Holy smokes, that's a lot of money's worth of kids, $1,217,920 worth of kids.
Oh, well, let me tell you, when you were going through those numbers, I started to sweat a little bit. Like, oh, my goodness, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. Well, you are kind of like a self-taught home economist, mm-hmm. right?
Exactly. We were in a lot of debt about 8 years ago. Me and my husband were in over $40,000 with a credit card debt. We had to get out of debt and yet still afford to be able to feed our family and pay our bills. So that's kind of how I got started in learning how to cut back on pretty much everything, you know, in my home.
So what was that moment? Describe that moment when you woke up to the fact that, holy smokes, we're $40,000 in debt. What are we going to do?
Well, I actually remember specifically we had bought this huge custom-built house for us. We were on a two-income, and then I lost my job, so that went down to one income. And that's when we really were like, oh, my goodness, we have to start taking a look at the money that we're spending. So I didn't even know that we were in $40,000 worth of debt until I got all of our credit card statements out. And I actually remember me and my husband sitting on our bed in our, like, huge master bedroom suite of, you know, this house that we couldn't afford anymore, and getting out all the credit cards, and we laid them all out on the bed, and I took my calculator, and I added everything up, and then we realized, like, oh, my gosh, we're in so much trouble right now. And so that was, like, our aha moment of if we don't do something about this right now, you know, this is going to continue to go further and further, and we're going to lose our house, we're going to lose everything that we worked so hard for. So we need to start changing things right now. So that was our big aha moment.
Wow. And so you come to grips with the fact that you're way in the hole, as a lot of people do, you know, when they finally come to grips with the financial statements, pull out all the credit card receipts and put them on the table and stare at them, and you go, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do now? So you had this epiphany.
Right.
What are you going to do? So what was your first thing? What was your first thought? How you looked at your husband, Mark, and you said, Mark, what are we going to do? Mark looked back at you and he said, well, we'll do this.
Yeah, well, the first thing that we looked at, honestly, was where can we immediately cut back, you know, our spending? And the place where we found, you know, we first got rid of all the things we didn't need. You know, we haven't had cable. We got rid of our cable. We still don't have it back. So 8 years later, we still just don't spend money on TV. So we got rid of our cable. We got rid of our...
Wait a minute. How old are the kids?
The kids are 9, 5, 3, and 1.
Uh-huh. With no TV, with no TV babysitters?
Well, we have like Netflix, so they, you know, we subscribe to that, so they watch shows off of there, but we don't, you know, have Disney or anything like that. So
the TV is not something that drones on all day then.
Right. Yeah, they can watch TV at certain times of the day if they want. So we haven't had cable. So once we got rid of all the things that we didn't need or, you know, we thought were unnecessary, then we were left with all of the necessities. And we kind of took a look and saw where we were spending the most amount of money and where we could see the most amount of savings immediately. And our food bill was the number one place where we could see an immediate savings. Around that time, we were spending about $1,000 a month on food. And that was just for me and my husband and my son. You know, the other three, our three daughters weren't born yet.
So there was just the three of you spending $1,000 a month.
Right. And that was eating out. That was, you know, going grocery shopping and then not eating it. So we have to throw things out and go and buy it again. And so that was where we started focusing was on our grocery bill. So we set the goal that if we could take that $1,000 down to $200 a month, then we could really start making some significant progress in paying off this debt that we were in.
Wow, that's $800 a month savings right there. And you know, the USDA, when they put out this incredible press release, it was interesting. I met you via an email on the same week that I met this USDA press release. And I'm holding both of them up in my hands and going, well, there's a show for sure. But the USDA, at the top of the list, you know, of things that young parents must buy children, food.
Right. Food is, I mean, everybody has to eat, right? So, and food is something, you know, you can't negotiate your mortgage bill down, but you can surely negotiate and pay attention to the food that you're buying, where you get it from, and where to get it for the cheapest price. I mean, everybody, I feel like, is sitting on a few hundred dollars of extra cash every single month because they don't know how to make that food bill or budget, you know, go that much farther.
Who taught you?
I actually just taught myself, to be honest. I figured out kind of how to meal plan and how to use coupons the right way, learned how to make things go farther just by being creative with the things that I already knew. So that's kind of just how I got started. I'm pretty self-taught in how I went about all of this.
And the encouragement for teaching oneself, of course, came from the realization that you're $40,000 in debt. You're down to one income. You have a big, huge new home, and you've got to pull yourself together to come to grips with all this situation, right?
Exactly. And it was either we, you know, let our house payments go and we don't pay our mortgage anymore, or we get this, you know, budget together, which we had never budgeted before, like get some sort of budget together and figure out how we can at least start making progress and even just paying our current bills. And then once those are paid, then what else can we pay off? You know, what kind of debt can we pay off and all that.
Now, as the host of IamThatLady.com, do you have other ladies coming to you saying, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually, before IamThatLady.com came about, I actually taught grocery saving seminars for 3 years. And the demand for those seminars got so big that I couldn't keep up with everybody wanting them. So that's why I started the blog, because I felt like I could reach more people. So I have, you know, on that blog, I have YouTube tutorials, I have meal plans, coupons, online deals, budgeting tips and techniques, kind of everything that you can think about to enjoy life on a budget is on that site. So, so I get emails every single day of people, please help me do this. And honestly, that's why I wrote my book, How to Coupon Effectively, too, because I was getting the same exact emails every single day asking, how can I do this?
You know, Lauren Grootman,
then everybody can read it.
Lauren, something tells me you are one go-getter.
I am. I'm kind of, have you ever heard of that, you know, there's like the all or nothing personality? Uh-huh. That's me.
Okay. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio program. Michael Olson here with Lauren Grootman. She is the host of the IamThatLady.com website. And we're going to be talking about how to get the most value for your food dollar. So do stay tuned. We will be right back on the Food Chain.
Get this. You can earn a 5-, 6-, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
You can be old or young.
Rich or poor.
Married or single.
You can own land outright.
Or lease it year to year.
You can grow small fruits on prairie bench lands.
Houseplants in coastal valleys.
Flowers on steep wooded hillsides.
Vegetables in the city green belts.
And ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
Get all the help you need to get growing at MetroFarm.com.
Get the complete guide to growing high-value specialty crops for the city at MetroFarm.com.
Get experts to look at your land and assess which crops to grow at MetroFarm.com.
Get advice on how to plan and develop your project at MetroFarm.com.
And get news about the business of farming for the city.
Yes, you can earn a 5-, 6-, or even a 7-figure income by farming high-value specialty crops on a small parcel of land in or near the city.
Grow for the money today at MetroFarm.com. That's MetroFarm.com.
Get this, folks. Young parents starting out today will spend a whopping $304,480 to raise a child to the age of 18. And topping the list of things that people must buy, of course, is food, because we all must eat, and we all must eat near every day, especially if you're feeding young, hungry mouths. Hey, I bet that's really an interesting thing, watching how hungry your children are. When I was called you before the show to check in, Lauren, I heard a bunch of kids in the background, and they right. They always sound hungry, don't they?
They do. They were actually just asking for lunch, because I'm in New York, so I'm, you know, it's around lunchtime here, so they were asking for lunch.
Like a bunch of little birdies in the nest, chirping away,
exactly.
Waiting for mama bird to come back with a worm, yeah.
Exactly.
There it is. Well, Lauren, you know, I had an occasion to give a speech here recently in front of a bunch of people who are in the food industry, and the speaker preceding me was a representative from the Federal Reserve Board of Kansas City. And, you know, waiting to do my speech, I was listening to her talk about how low the inflation rate is in the United States. And I said, after her presentation, I went up to her and I said, well, wait a minute. You know, just a few years ago, like gasoline was $1.50 a gallon, and now it's close to $5 a gallon, and food was like nothing, and now it's something. And why is inflation so low when the things that we need every day are going through the roof? And she said, well, it's very simple. We don't count the cost of food or fuel in the inflation index. Mm. And I thought, oh, okay. That's one way to make things look good, I guess. But, you know, you're a person now who's been watching very closely for a number of years. What right. do you see happening to the price of food, the cost of food?
Well, we actually, there was a report out, I think either last week or the week before, that talked about the price of meat and how it's gone up. And I specifically remember the price of pork going up 10%, and the price of coffee has gone up like 8-10% over the past few years. So we're seeing a big increase in food, and it's affecting people very, very drastically. When they're, you know, the price of pork goes up 10%, but I bet you they didn't get a 10% raise at work. That, you know, they might have gotten no raise, or maybe 2% or 3%. So what we're seeing is an offset, like people aren't getting the raises, or the prices of food are going up. So it's becoming less and less affordable for people to be eating healthier. And
how do you see that? You mean, as somebody who budgets closely and monitors things really closely, do you actually see the price of food going up? I mean, if you're a big dumb boy like me, you probably don't see it so closely because big dumb boys like me don't pay that much attention. But if you're focusing on that budget, do you really see that, the prices?
Yep, we're seeing prices go up and up and up. But, you know, on top of that is, you know, grocery stores are very strategic in the way that they place things and they mark things. So you might not be seeing the price increases in the things that you buy every single day because they know that you're going to see those increases. But they're going to increase the prices on other things in the store that might not be your every week purchases, so that you're still seeing price increases, but you're not, like, shocked by them.
What were those other things being?
Well, like, I'm thinking, like, olive oil and, you know, mustard, like condiments, frozen goods, things that you're not buying every single week. Mm-hmm. Toiletries, we're seeing an increase in all of that stuff as well as meat. So you might not, like, be shocked by it, and you might not see the raise in prices, but you're actually seeing them in other areas, and that's where they're making the money from.
So if the price of milk goes up, you know, they're loath to raise the price too much. So instead of raising the price of milk, they raise the price of olive oil and toilet paper.
Right, exactly.
Wow.
Yep. So they're tricking you to see, so you don't notice it as much.
Well, I guess that's the name of the game anyway.
<Yeah.
laughs> that's the way the gal from the Fed was putting it. You know, we just don't count those things that really count.
Right.
And there you go. So, you know, you talked a little bit about when you had your epiphany moment. You and Mark sat down and think, we have to come to grips with this. And the first thing I guess you do is establish a budget, right?
Establishing a budget is key. So obviously there's the things that you can't change, but there's so many things that you can change about, you know, if you need cable, you can negotiate your rate. If you need a home phone, you can negotiate your rate. You know, you always be changing your car insurance every 3 years or somewhere around that time so that you can get a better rate. So there's lots of different ways that you can save money. But when budgeting, especially when it comes to food, I always tell people to use cash when they're paying for food purchases. Because it does two things. It makes you eat healthier because you then, when you get to the register and you don't only have, you know, $100, let's say you go to $120, you have to then make choices of what you're going to put back. And you're a lot less likely to put back the carrot sticks and the broccoli and the apples than you are the bags of chips and the ice cream. So you have to make a lot healthier food choices when you use cash to buy your groceries. So that's the place where we really focused when we started getting out of debt and learning how to budget was using cash for those grocery store purchases.
And you also had those credit cards hanging over too, so there was no sense going back to those if at all possible,
exactly.
Right? So you get kind of a twofer for them. That's really a way of getting control. Budgeting is a way of really getting control of oneself, isn't it?
Exactly. And I think, you know, I'm a spender, so I love to spend money. And that's not always good when you're in $40,000 with a credit card debt. So what I found as a spender is that a budget is kind of like, you know, putting a fence around your house for protection. It's almost like you've given yourself freedom to spend money, but you've also given yourself a fence, like this is how far you can go. And it really helps me as a spender to be able to say, okay, this is where as much money as I can spend, and then when the money's gone, it's gone, and I can't get any more. So it's really, you know, for somebody like me who loves to spend money, it's really kind of a safe place for me, so I know that I won't go over budget or get back into credit card debt.
It really does challenge, though, the whole notion of credit cards, right? Because if you have a credit card, you have no limits. You can spend everything in the world and live happily ever after until the bill comes at the end of the month.
Exactly. So we actually cut up our credit cards. We haven't had a physical credit card in our possession for the past 7 years. So we don't even have one.
So this budgeting business is very important to the Groupman family. That's the way the budget is the law of the land, as it were. How do you plan, then, your meals around that budget?
Well, we give ourselves, you know, a certain amount of money every week. Right now, our budget, you know, I fed us on $50 a week for about 3 years. And that was while
that
we
was
were
when you had
really
three,
hard.
That was when there was three of you?
Three, then four, then five. So
you were running five on a budget.
$50 a week.
Wow.
Yep. So we were that dedicated to getting out of debt. So $50 a week was what we were spending. Now we're up to $125 because the kids have gotten older, and I actually have to eat gluten-free now for a health condition. So I have gluten-free. So I'm feeding us family of six and $125 a week. So what I do is I take, you know, that $125 out in cash, and that's what I have to work with that week. And, you know, there's, I think almost every single week I put something back after I've cashed out. I put something, I have to take something off because I'm over budget. So that's how, you know, we plan out our week. And then I kind of look through and see, one thing that we did, this past year is we bought a half a cow at a local organic farm. So we have, you know, a freezer full of healthy meat to choose from. So we plan, you know, a few meals around what we already have in the freezer downstairs. And then we also will look and see what other things are on sale for the week, meats and produce and things like that. Mm-hmm. And we plan our meals around those sale items.
Well, when we get back, I want to ask you what kind of food you get the most value from. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson with Lauren Grootman. She is the hostess of the IamThatLady.com website, and she does help people come to grips with the fact that they have to budget for their food. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Well, a caller called and said, hey, Olson, you made a big boo-boo. The Federal Reserve does count the price of food and fuel in their inflation index. However, the durable goods that really cost a lot of money, like cars and refrigerators and televisions, you know, the price of those things has been going down enough to ameliorate the inflation rate of food and fuel. That being the case, we don't buy many new cars and refrigerators and things like that. So the that value of food really does go up on our budgets. Lauren, is that something that you avoid, like buying a lot of new televisions and things like that?
Yeah, we actually just bought a new television, I think, last year. We had one that, you know, was 15 years old, I think. And we don't buy new cars. We buy them used, you know. Our cars both have over 100,000 miles on them, and they're banged up. But that's okay. They get around.
They get around and they're paid for, and there you go.
Exactly. We're now debt-free, so we don't have any payments on anything. School loans are paid off.
Wait a minute. Tell me about what it was like when you became debt-free.
Oh, wow. It was such a relief to just know that we owned everything that we had. I mean, we still have a mortgage out, but we're working actually on paying down the mortgage. And we only have about 10 years left on the mortgage loan. So we just love it was such a relief after being in debt and in so much debt for so long. I actually cried because I was so proud of everything that we had accomplished. Cause it was hard work. Let me tell you, I mean, going without pretty much any luxury item for 5 years, you know, no coffee at Starbucks, you know, all of that stuff. It was hard, but it was great to be able to do it. And now that's our passion, is to pass that information on to other people to help them get control of their finances. So that's what we love to do.
So let's start with food. You know, you're raising four children, and you're looking into the eyes of those beautiful four young kids, and you're thinking, I've got to get the best I can for them for the mm-hmm. fewest dollar. So how do you go about, what kind of food do you look for those four beautiful young children?
Well, like I said a few minutes ago, we bought a half of a cow at a local organic farm. So you know, when we bought the cow, we couldn't really afford to kind of go all organic or anything like that. But we felt like this was the best purchase that we could have made for what we could afford. So we have a freezer full of of meat. And then I'm looking.
I bet it's pretty good meat, too.
Oh, it's very good meat. And, you know, it's once you go grass-fed organic, you can't go back to. It just tastes different, and it tastes better, and it's fresher. That's what we have switched to. And, you know, I'm looking at, we don't do a lot of processed foods. We don't eat out very often. So when I'm looking to feed them, we eat a ton of like fresh fruits and vegetables. So this year I actually started my very first garden, which I had never done before. I always shopped at the farmers markets, and this year I started my own garden. And so that was really awesome to kind of get the kids involved in growing our own food. And they really kind of grabbed onto that and wanted to help out a lot. But I'm also looking for the best value with the best best price and, mm-hmm. and the healthiest options.
You know, I'm just thinking back to my childhood, and I remember that there were so very few things that came into our home that came in packages that mm-hmm. we almost squealed in joy when the folks would buy something that came in a package because... You just never did, you know. When
you,
our family is kind of like yours in that we had a one income family, you know, with five kids. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't a lot of packaged things that we bought for food, but people do buy a lot of packaged things for food these days. Can you get much food value out of those things? I'm thinking, you know, like. Those breakfast cereals that are made with, you know, simple carbohydrates and sweetened with GMO corn syrup and flavored mm-hmm. with something that isn't natural. Is there any value in those things?
Well, I mean, you have to... When I was in so much debt, there was just... We had to kind of take the food that we could get at that time. So our eating habits have changed over the years. But the one thing that I always focused on was eating, you know, naturally fresh foods. So eggs and dairy and fruits and vegetables. And, you know, when I'm talking to people, because I still do teach grocery saving seminars. And, you know, when I'm talking to people about the food that they're buying, they're saying, well, I don't have, you know, there's never coupons for meat and there's never coupons for milk and all of those things. And what I always say is that, there may not be, but my goal is to help keep you maybe out of the inside aisles of the grocery store, because that's where all of the money is being made, you know, by the grocery store. And if you are going to buy things on those inner aisles of the grocery store that are the packaged foods and the cereals and the cookies and cake mixes and all those, why don't I teach you how to save 80% off of those items? And then all the money that gets freed up from spending, you know, from using coupons on those items, you can now delegate to spend on those fresh fruits and vegetables and organic products if you want, and organic dairy. So now you have the money to buy those instead of spending all the money on those inner aisles where your money is just kind of going away and it's not nutritional.
When you teach classes in grocery shopping, what is the most frequently asked question?
People want to know how to stick to a budget and how to meal plan. That's kind of the thing that people... fail to really kind of grasp is the whole meal planning aspect of this. You know, you can coupon and use coupons and buy food until the cows come home, but if you're not taking that food home with a plan, then you don't really know where it's going, and you're missing half the things you need for ingredients, and then you go back to the store. And there was a shocking statistic that I heard that said for every extra minute that you spend in the grocery store, you spend an extra $1.75.
Ouch.
And so, yes. So my goal is to go to the grocery store one time, go in and out with my list, stick to my list, and get out as soon as possible so that I don't have to go back until next week or 2 weeks, whenever.
So it's like
my goal.
It's like shopping with track shoes on.
Exactly. I'm going as fast as I can to get out so I don't buy things I don't need. And I have a plan. When I come home, I know exactly what I'm going to cook that week. I have all the ingredients. And then I'm done stressing about it. Because I think we, you know, especially if we work full-time, you know, like I do, I work full-time on this site. And we have another site as well, markandlaureng.com, which is launching next week, all about budgeting. But So, you know, there's so much going on in our life that if I can just get rid of dinner and, like, not have to worry about that every single day, I'm going to be more productive in other areas of my life as well.
So the real big deal then is planning those meals out in advance so that you know what you're going to do, you know what you need, don't have to think about them, can shop at the grocery store in track shoes, get in and out of there the minimum amount of time, save the maximum amount of dollars, and life goes on with some money in your pocket. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson with Lauren Grootman. She is the hostess of IAmThatLady.com. Teach you how to save money buying food. Costs almost a third of $1 million for a young family to raise a child from birth to age 18. Oh my goodness, maybe we ought to consider a budget. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. All right, all you young families out there. Going to cost you somewhere in the neighborhood of $304,480 if you have a baby this year and raise it to the age of 18. On top of that list of things to buy for the child is food. Hungry children, and they're going to be looking at you all the time with hunger in their eyes, and you have to feed them, and you have to pay for that food. And so how on earth are we going to come to grips with that? Well, we're talking with Lauren Grootman, who helps people come to grips with that out there in Buffalo, New York. What got a question on the line, Lauren, which is, how on earth do you go about buying a cow in Buffalo?
Well, I actually live in Syracuse, New York. Okay. So it's a little bit, you know, 3 hours away from Buffalo, but I have a lot of family in Buffalo. And so, you know, I went and asked around to my friends about farms that sold cows, and there's actually a website. I can't remember the name of it, of the website that I went to, but if you Google, like, find, you know, organic farm in your area or something like that, you'll find some resources. So I did that, and I called around to a few different farms and asked different prices and, you know, questions like, I actually have an article on my website about what questions to ask them. But, you know, things like hanging weight versus, like, real weight, you know, what do they charge per pound? Is it with the bone on the animal or just the meat? You have to kind of ask those kind of questions to see what kind of deal you're getting with the meat that you're purchasing.
So did you visit the farm?
Yep, I visit the farm. And we still, you know, they welcome us to come and tour the farm before you even make your purchase. And they show you, you know, where the cows eat and where they live. And it was a very welcoming thing. So now when we go and pick up, you know, if we run out of ground beef, which we have, we go and pick it up from the farm. And we bring our kids with us and we go and run around. And, you know, the chickens are all there that lay our eggs that we buy. And it's just a really fun experience for the kids to see how, you know, what goes on and where our food comes from.
And so tell us about shopping now. And tell us about how Lauren Grootman goes about the, you know, shopping to me is kind of like being a hunter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have your rifle, but you have your pocket full of cash, right? And you're going out into the wilds of the commercial world and shopping. And it's kind of like hunting wild animals, if you think about it a little bit.
Exactly, and you gotta be prepared. You know, preparation is key. You know, before you take a test, you wanna study, and before you go grocery shopping, you wanna prepare. So, I always sit down with my grocery store flyers and kind of look at the front page of the ad and see what's on sale that week. You know, produce and meat are pretty much what I'm looking for those items. Also, you know, if there are some snack foods that I want to get for my kids, I look to see if I have a coupon for them. And one big tip that if you're looking for coupons for items that your family eats every single week, I recommend that you email the company directly. Like, you can go to their website, you can find their contact form, and send them an email thanking them for their great product. And then they will, a lot of times in turn, mail you coupons for free items.
Wow.
So So I do that on a pretty regular basis. If I like a new product or I try a new thing and my family just loves it, I'll go right on the computer and send them an email thanking them and just ask them, you know, do you ever come out with coupons for these? And a lot of times I 3 days later, I have a mail full of $20 worth of free product coupons. So that week I would plan my meals around those free items that I got.
Kind of like ask and ye shall receive.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of times people don't use coupons because they're like they're for unhealthy and unprocessed foods. And yes, a lot of them are. But also there's this great resource of coupons for healthy products. You just have to kind of know the right place to look for them. So emailing companies is great. And mambosprouts.com is a website that you can go and print off free healthy organic food coupons. So I'm looking for the coupons that I do have when I'm making my grocery shopping trip to see what I can get for free or cheap that week. So if there's a coupon out for fresh carrots, you know, we're going to make and let's say there's a pot roast on sale, then we're going to make, you know, a pot roast in the crock pot because those two things are on sale. So I try and kind of plan our meals and what we're eating around the things that are on sale and what's seasonal. So we've been eating a lot of like squash and zucchini lately because we're getting that from the garden, and now our tomatoes are getting ripe here in New York. So now I'm making, you know, spaghetti sauce with those tomatoes and also working those into recipes. And so we kind of, you know, eat that way, like around what's on season and what's on sale, and then plan our meals around those items. So that's how I'm doing it.
So if you're kind of like a hunter and going out into mm-hmm. the woods, hunting down a wild animal, you kind of do the same things. You know, you sit there and you clean your rifle and you oil up your boots and you think about where the game is likely to be and how to approach that game and plan for it.
Exactly. So
thinking is the first step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a statistic out there that says for every hour of planning, you save 4 hours of execution. And so I am planning for an hour of my trip to go out and, you know, spend my groceries and use coupons where I can and really plan around the sales and the seasonal items. And then I'm saving myself that much more time throughout the week, you know, 4 hours of time of stressing and not having the ingredients and having to go to the store. And so it's really just planning it out is super, super important when it comes to saving money in the grocery store, because then you know where your money's going and you know how to spend it.
Hey, when we get back, the big question for Lauren Groopman, which is, where can one find the best value for the food that you buy for the fewest dollars? Most value, fewest dollars. Where can we find it? With Lauren Groopman, Michael Olson, and The Food Chain, right back. Well, folks, imagine yourself a young parent with a house full of kids, like Lauren Groopman. Holy smokes, 4 kids. That's like $1,217,920 worth of kids. Holy smokes. You've got a fortune in kids there.
Wow.
According to the USDA. So, Lauren, you have these 4 wonderful children in your home. As, you know, when parents around the land, you know, have children, they're looking at their children. How do I get the best value in food mm-hmm. for them? You know, you see a lot of parents feeding their children some pretty strange things that come in boxes, and it doesn't sound like you're headed down that path at all.
Yeah, we try our best to not do that, but, you know, we do have moments of weakness when we're busy and stuff like that, but we try our best to make it as healthy as we can. And we definitely, you know, I bake a lot, so that we don't, you know, buy those processed cookies and all those mm-hmm. things. I make a lot of things from scratch. So that helps to keep the bill down as well.
Mm-hmm. And there's going to come a time when your children are going to look back at mom, what mom did for them, and be most appreciative. I'll guarantee mm-hmm. you that. Probably not when they're teenagers, but later, get it down the line. So how do we look for true value in our food purchases? Where should we look?
Well, I'll tell you where I look. And I know farmers markets are a great place, or regional markets that you have. You know, I always look for at farmers markets some things that I'm looking for are produce, are big. And, you know, I also look for if there's somebody that's selling spices or something like that, that dried spices, a lot of times I can get for a lot less money there. Also, there are some meat, you know, farms that come out to farmers markets as well to sell their goods there. So I would look at your farmers market. You know, here in New York, we only have a farmers market a few months out of the year. So I stock up a lot of times on the things that are in season. If I can't get them out of my own garden and cut them up and freeze them or can them and try to save things that way. So I know you probably have farmers markets out there that operate for, you know, I don't know if they're year round, but
We're pretty fortunate in that regard.
Oh, I'm so jealous. We only get them 3-4 months out of the year here in New York. But, you know, other places to look are at your local grocery store, just making sure that you're looking at the sale items. One place, and I don't know if, do you have Aldi grocery stores by you out
No,
there?
We do not.
Okay. Well, that's one place where I go here. It's kind of like a...
What are they?
It's a grocery store, but it's kind of like a no-frills grocery store. Okay. Like, you know, it's not advertised. It's just you go and things are in boxes on the, you know, lined up on the wall, and you have to pay for your own cart, you know, a deposit on your grocery store cart, and you have to bag your own groceries. But they have very, very affordable organic food there. So, you know, I can get a whole bag of organic lettuce for $2 where, you know, down the street it's $5. And so I do a lot of shopping there. So if you have a store that maybe is a no-frills grocery store where they get more stuff,
there you
organic
go.
Items.
Well, Lauren, we're kind of running out of time here, but folks can always look you up at IamThatLady.com. How did you become I Am That Lady, by the way?
Well, when I was thinking about it, I just thought, oh, I'm just that crazy lady who spends a lot of time in the grocery store cart line, you know. So,
thank you very much, Lauren. Thank you all for tuning in The Food Chain. Remember Michael Olson's third law of the food chain, cheap food isn't. See you next week for more What's Eating What Radio.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.